Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight the Age of Heroes has dawned and the path to public service unfolds. Tonight we'll be meeting the 2022 Tenafly Board of Education candidates, beginning with Michael J. Croce. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about you. Now, in your biography, and by the way, you have an impressive biography. You've done very many things over a wide area. Can you tell us a little bit about your life story, your life path that brought you here to this candidacy?
Sure. So you're right, Hercules. It's been a very diverse path. School was something that always came very easy to me. I always did very well in school, but didn't have to struggle very hard in order to do well in my classes. And so by the time I finished high school, I found myself with very little the direction and the path that I wanted to proceed in. And so my desire to pursue sports, athletics, as well as an education in engineering brought me to Brooklyn College, where I quickly dropped out after a year and a half with less than 12 credits to my name, out mostly because I was interested in pursuing a relationship with a young woman whom I'd met while I was working in fast food industry. We got married when I was 19, and by the time I was 20, I was the father of a young son. My wife and I were living together in Staten Island, where I supported us working as a cabinet maker, building custom kitchens, and doing fine carpentry. So my career path seemed to be going in the direction of a more blue-collar direction, even though I had always expressed the desire to be a lawyer when I was very young. But instead, I was working as a career carpenter until that marriage fell apart. And then I found myself supporting my young son, an ex-wife, and no education to fall back on. So I decided to return to school. And that's what I did, because I went back to school at night, worked during the days, and, fast-tracked myself to graduate with a double major in psychology and English, with the goal of graduating with a high GPA and going to law school. And I chose Brooklyn Law School as the school that I would attend, mostly because I knew that it was a school that was highly focused on by the local prosecutor's offices in New York City, because that was my desire, was to work as a prosecutor when I became a lawyer. And that's what I did. I went to Brooklyn Law School, and while I was there, I was able to get a job working as a what they called a student legal assistant, a student case aide, working with prosecutors during the day and going to school at night. Again, I graduated early. I was appointed a Bronx District Attorney and worked for several years as an assistant district attorney of Bronx County, prosecuting all levels of crimes from misdemeanors to felonies, including homicides, which is really the apex of the office. Because of financial reasons, it was necessary to leave the district attorney's office. I went into the insurance defense, doing medical malpractice defense work, and then I realized that my passion was really the criminal law. So essentially for the past 20-some-odd years, my practice has been focusing on criminal defense, both at the federal and state courts in New York State, and have an office in New York City. And it's really been quite a ride. It's something that I really am passionate about and something I really enjoy.
And it says a lot about you that you did this on your own, it seems. You know, you were raising a family, and you put yourself through school, you put yourself in strategic places where you can get the types of experience that you need to attain your goals, and you went after them. So, again, it says a lot about you.
Thank you for noticing that, but, yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, A lot of people in Tenafly, they have questions that fall into some general areas. So we'll tackle one area at a time. Why the Tenafly Board of Education? You know, if you have, if you want to serve your community and you're already serving your community through your job, why choose the Tenafly Board of Education?
Well, Tenafly Board of Ed is something that I feel very strongly about because I do have children in the Tenafly school system today. I have a son who will be 18 next week who's graduating this year and another son who's 15 who's a sophomore. And, you know, the education that they get at in the Tenafly school system is of great importance to myself, to my wife, and ultimately to them. Because whatever they're able to do in the future will be based upon the foundation that they get from the school system. My wife and I literally moved ourselves from a lakefront home in Hopatcong, New Jersey, where we were really living a lifestyle for, you know, for the weekends, to move to Tenafly because the school system here had such high grades and offered so much more than other school systems in New Jersey. So we brought our family here for that purpose. And then during the course of the pandemic, like many other people who found themselves with a lot more time on their hands, I had time to focus on things like board meetings and attending those virtually, and felt like there was more that could be done for our students. I have to be critical here that I feel that it is the job of the to ask questions and to, you know, hold the superintendent accountable for the curriculum as well as for the operation of the school. And I don't feel that parents were really being listened to when they were voicing concerns. I don't feel that the board was being intensive enough in scrutinizing what the superintendent was doing and their job of oversight of the superintendent. So when the opportunity presented itself to me to be able to run for this position, I thought that it would be a really good opportunity for me to try to serve my community and bring what I feel are certain skill sets that I have to the table, which I think would benefit the community at large.
And you read my mind about the next question. Which of your skill sets do you feel would benefit the Tenafly school system the most?
Well, first of all, I honestly feel that for most of my life, I've been a facilitator. I've been a person who's been able to bring people together, find a void and fill the void, find the need and fill it. Find the person who's looking for something and find the person who brings that missing element to the table. I've always felt that I've had a gift or a talent for being able to listen to people, to be able to digest what it is that's being said, to ask the pertinent questions that need to be asked, as well as to take the time to research questions that I don't know the answer to so that people don't come to the table, bring their concerns to the table, and feel like they're being pushed aside and they're not being listened to. I think my ability to listen to people, to respond to them meaningfully, is something that we really need from our board. We need people who are willing to listen to what the community has to say and try to incorporate the desires, the wants, the needs of the community into the curriculum and the operations of the school. It's a multifaceted area of the school system because while it deals with one of the most important things that we have today, the education of our children, mm-hmm. It is a large school system. It is a costly school system. The members of our community pay high taxes because they know at the end of the day their children are getting a quality education. And it's important to make sure that there's oversight, that the money that's being spent is being spent well, and it's paying its dividends, both academically for the children, but also as far as the operations, that it's being spent frugally, responsibly, and that the budget reflects that type of intense scrutiny.
Scrutiny is always good, improvement is always good. Now, where do you feel exactly that the school system needs attention? You had mentioned that you don't feel that the school system is responsive to the voice of the community. Where do you feel it falls short?
So there have been school board meetings that I've observed where family members would voice their concerns. Community members would attend. They would take the opportunity to address the board during the public comment sections and ask questions and not get answers. They would essentially be pushed aside, or they would be ignored. Sadly, I feel like the public comment section has become nothing more than an opportunity for the community to sound its voice without any opportunity to see any type of meaningful response. And I should point out that early on, when my family and I first moved to Tenafly, I attended a school board meeting some years ago. Board member who I observed, and I understand he's no longer on the board, but I watched as questions were being submitted to the board and the questioners were being essentially brushed away. And this one individual would stop the board and say, wait a second, this person's asked a question. We should give an answer. We should answer this person. And I truly believe in that function of the board. They are the elected representatives of the community. They are there to represent the interests of the community. I consider it a fiduciary duty, a duty of obligation and responsibility to the community. That doesn't mean that board members can represent everyone in the community, because we have a very diverse community and not everybody agrees.
Right.
But clearly the diverse voices should be heard, so that if possible, a consensus should be attempted to be reached.
I agree that all voices should be heard, and that a lot can be solved by conversation. Can you give an example of what type of issues are being brought up that you feel are not being addressed?
Clearly, I recently attended a board meeting that had to do with the brand new law that deals with diversity, inclusion, gender identity. This is a very hot topic issue. It's a very sensitive issue. People have very real and very passionate feelings about that topic on all sides of that spectrum. It's not a one-sided or two-sided debate. There are people who come at those arguments from very different perspectives. Unfortunately, I have felt that people are not willing to at least listen to the other perspectives, listen to the other voices that are asking to be heard. Clearly, that has created some division in our community, in our schools. It's created division, between friends. And while I understand that people have very intense, passionate feelings about these topics, I don't believe possible to address these very sensitive topics without to a point where we have to exclude a segment of the community. I truly believe that the vast majority of our community is willing to have the conversation, is willing to work out some type of an agreement and a consensus agreement that allows these topics to be broached to the satisfaction of the vast majority of the community. There's always going to be outliers. There's always going to be people who say it's not enough or it's too much. And unfortunately, I find that those are the people who get the most attention, right? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. And it's always the extremes that are shouting from the rooftops, and they're getting all of the attention, where the vast majority of people are not that far apart in their feelings about these topics. and can very easily come together to work to an agreement that would benefit everyone involved.
So if you were on the school board, you would have like meetings to discuss sensitive issues?
Well, I personally feel like it's important for me as a school board member to be in touch with the community that I would represent. So I clearly would be one of those individuals who would look to have what some people have called cottage parties or listening town halls, where people can come and say, listen, this is how I feel about these things. Now, the point of the conversation is not to necessarily come to an immediate understanding or an immediate agreement, but rather to at least have those issues voiced in a forum where people can be heard, where people can agree to disagree and recognize where we come together, where we are in agreement, and where we can't agree, can we come to a consensus?
I think that this particular issue is an issue because it has to do with the basic human rights. And as you pointed out, we live in a very highly polarized and polarizing environment right now. But people are losing their rights in many different areas. And the issue you brought up is one of the areas where people are very concerned that they might be losing their civil rights. And so it is going to be a very hot topic. I wish you great success in getting people to talk about it without, it polarizing the community even more.
You know, Hercules, I work in the field of human rights. I work in the criminal law. I work every day dealing with the issues of constitutionally protected rights. And the whole reason I actually became a lawyer is because I truly believe premise of no one is above the law and the law should be there for everyone. Having worked on some high profile criminal cases and having dealt with the media and a great number of those cases, my greatest dissatisfaction is that I find that most of the material that's being printed and put out there for the public is not based in fact and it's not based in reality. And I've had personal experiences where the information that I knew to be true was not being accurately communicated. So with respect to the issue of civil rights, clearly no one should be treated like a second-class citizen. No one should have their rights diminished or devalued in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think that that's what this is about. I think it's more about a misunderstanding of what is actually being discussed. And once we can all agree on what the reality of the conversation is, then we can have a meaningful conversation. It's unfair to say that, again, it's unfair to call somebody a racist and then expect them to have a conversation about a topic that involves something involving racial discussions. You can't call someone a sexist or misogynist and then expect them to sit down and be able to have a reasonable conversation with you about that issue. We have to be open to the idea that people will not always agree. But where do we agree? Where can we come together? And then where can we build a consensus from that?
I'm a strong believer in that as well, that there are many things that people will not agree on, but there are many things that they will agree on. And as a society, we need to work on things we agree on and continue to explore the things we don't agree on to see if we can agree on them at some point.
Agreed.
So now, that is a great start, to get people to talk more and to get people to be able to express their true feelings and to seek both understanding and communication. What else do you feel that Tenafly needs to work on beyond this particular area that you spoke about?
Well, my understanding is, and this is coming from information from, outside sources, but clearly, I understand that there's a big issue with respect to the school campuses, the grounds, the buildings themselves, that there's been repairs, there's been improvements that have been necessary for quite some time that have not been addressed, that have been essentially the can's been kicked down the road. And it's coming to a point where it's looking like these issues cannot be ignored or avoided any longer. So it would seem that at some point in the next year or two, there's going to be some type of a referendum request, a budget to fund these very large projects. And I think that it's important, again, to have someone who's willing to sit there and say, how is this money going to be spent? Because it's ultimately the citizens of this town that are going to be spending that money and paying that bill. And I think the oversight obligation of the board to ensure that that money is being wisely and responsibly spent is something that needs to be a focus of the board going forward.
Thank you. Yes, there are so many things. I am loosely connected with our school system. I do after-school programs. So I've seen, how the schools operate and how they function. And there are always things that can be improved upon and repaired, and that should be a priority. Spending money wisely is always a good thing, so that things that are of the most and greatest importance get addressed.
Exactly. Now, you don't want to spend money just because you have it. You want to make sure you're spending the money frugally and responsibly so that if you need the money in the future, it's there.
And our last question, or maybe we'll have time for two more, is what makes you uniquely special for this type of position? What do you bring that no one else can bring to this position?
That is a megalomaniac question, Hercules. I'm not an Olympic god. I am an individual. I bring myself to the table, a person who's open and willing to listen to everyone, willing to really do the work that's necessary to do to make sure that people feel like they are being listened to and being answered. I'll give you an example, and I tell this to the students that I teach at John Jay, as well as to young lawyers who are opening up their practices. The vast majority of lawsuits for malpractice in the legal profession or any profession usually comes from the fact that the lawyer or the professional, the doctor, whomever it may be, fails to respond to their client. They don't take the phone calls. They try to ignore them, hoping that the issues will go away or that they will be forgotten. They don't take the time to sit down and answer questions or explain positions that they have or that they've taken about their client's individual matter. That's something that I bring to the table. I treat each of my clients, each of my students as individuals. They are unique. They have unique, and they don't always approach things from the same perspective. And it's my job to be able to analyze their needs, figure out what is it that they are actually asking me for, so that I can appropriately respond, so that I can give meaning to our conversation, to our dialogue, so that we can together work to resolve the case that we're working on together. So being able to sit down and be willing to listen to people who don't always agree with you or who don't mm-hmm. even like you, but be able to work through that is something that I think is important about what I bring to the table.
And that is a very admirable trait to bring to the table. How can people find out more about you? How can they find out more about your campaign? I know that the debates are coming up very soon. And where can folks go on the internet or anywhere else where they can find out more about you?
So, Hercules, I really don't have much of a social media presence because of the nature of the work that I do. Mm-hmm. I do have family and I do deal with people who some of whom are very dangerous people. So I don't maintain a very high social presence. But I'm here in the community. I'm available to the community. I'm active on Facebook. I can be reached on Facebook. And anyone who wants to reach out to me, I'm happy to give them my phone number. I'm happy to meet with them and sit down with them and talk to them and address and answer anything that they want to know about me. Clearly, I will be participating in the candidate forum, and I'm hoping to be able to participate in other forums as they become available. Unfortunately, I do have a hectic schedule during the day, and I'm on trial right now, actually, and I teach classes two nights a week. So it's not always possible for me to be able to reach out to people, but my work with the Elks, I'm a member of the Elks, as I know you are as well, and you know, I can reach through the Elks. Those are the different ways that are reachable at this point.
Well, thank you very much. I'm an ex-Elk now, or an Elk on the hold, because my schedule's very busy too, and I couldn't give it what it deserved from my time. So I took a break from the Elks and also the Rotary. But I hope to be back one day. And I understand, and what you said makes sense about not putting yourself out there beyond what you need to put yourself with. And I know that on social media, on Facebook, you have been answering questions that people have been posing to you quite thoroughly. So you're being very truthful when you say that you will get back to people and will interact with people and will listen to what people have to say.
Thank you for noticing that, Hercules. I appreciate that.
And thank you so very much. I'm looking forward to finding more about you and to speaking to you again very soon. I wish you success in all your ventures, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Rickus. Have a good evening.
You too. And now we're going to go to a song. So Long, If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley, and then part two of today's conversation.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
That was If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Greetings and welcome back to Age of Heroes. I'm Hercules Invictus, and tonight we are exploring the path of public service by speaking with the 2022 Board of Education candidates here in Tenafly, New Jersey. It is now my great honor to speak with Jocelyn Schwartz, who is the president of the Board of Education. Greetings and welcome, Jocelyn.
Thank you so much, Hercules, and thank you for doing these for our community. It's a wonderful way for, you know, the Tenafly community to get to know us a little bit better, all the candidates, in a, I would say, less formal setting than the candidates forum when we're all together. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do this for all of us.
Thank you for your kind words. I feel it's very important for folks to know who the people are behind the, you know, positions or the candidacy or the to get a sense of who the individual is so that when the issues are being discussed, they know more about the person that they'll be voting for.
Absolutely.
Now, what first inspired you to run for the Board of Education 6 years ago? Because you've been involved for a very long time.
I have. And it started out really with my journey through the MOM HSA. When my kids were in elementary school, I spent a lot of time volunteering in various capacities at MOM and eventually became the HSA co-president. And at the time I was the HSA co-president, MOM was actually the lead school, which meant that we as the MOM co-presidents met monthly with the superintendent to set the agenda for the district-wide HSA co-presidents meetings. So the schools rotate as to which one is the lead school every year, so it doesn't fall on one particular school's shoulders every year. And at that time, Lynn Traeger was the superintendent, and we met with her monthly to discuss issues that were important to the HSAs district-wide to, you know, again, set the agenda for our larger meetings. And I left those meetings incredibly inspired by the contributions that the HSA was able to make, you know, the conversations that we were able to have, and you know, how we were able to sort of push the district forward in our way as HSA representatives. And, you know, the satisfaction of giving back to Tenafly, where I grew up. I went through this entire school system. I graduated from Tenafly High School. I left and lived in the city for a while. I went to school in the city, lived there for a while, met my husband. And then when I got pregnant with our first child, we decided to move back to New Jersey. And very soon after moving back to New Jersey, we found ourselves back in Tenafly. And, you know, the idea of giving back to this community that I love, that I chose to come back to, I grew up in, my parents still live here, was really inspiring. And, you know, that HSA experience really left me wanting more. And, you know, I was interested in the work that the district was doing, and I felt I could really make a difference as a board trustee. And at that time, when I ran for the first time, I was the only candidate with students in elementary school. And so I felt I brought a very unique and important perspective to the table. And I was fortunate enough to be elected, and the rest is history, so to speak.
And the history has been a rough one. We had to deal with, I'm loosely connected with the Board of Ed. I do after school programs, the clubs, they call them, that do mostly theme type of activities. So I saw what happened when there was the fear of the school shootings, and we had to deal with that as a community. There's the pandemic, of course, that changed everybody's life. There are all these things that touch everybody that have to be handled in the school. So I really admire the job that you guys have done, because there's always so much going on.
There really is, and I appreciate you recognizing that. You know, part of this role is, of course, to move the district forward and come up with initiatives and talk about, you know, curriculum within our committee structure and all the things that we do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. But then there are also the challenges, right? And, you know, it's no secret we've faced a few of them in Tenafly over the last few years. And you have to sort of step up and figure out how you're going to handle it together. And it's not easy, and it takes time and commitment. But ultimately, you know, our students are the priority, and giving them the best experience we can, the best education we can. And, you know, I show up every day, you know, with that intention in mind.
So how is it running for the third time? What motivates you to keep moving forward and handling these challenges?
So unlike when I first ran, I now have my two girls are now in high school. And, you know, of course I have the perspective as a former student, but very different as a parent. Mm-hmm. And so I now have an even better understanding of the student experience, you know, district-wide. I have a freshman and a junior right now. And, you know, I look back to some of my sort of promotional materials from the first time I ran, and they look like babies, and I just can't believe how time has truly flown by in the last 6 years. You know, and I'm now college touring with my daughter, who's a junior, and it's just amazing to see just this tiny little view through my family, how prepared she is for life after high school already. And, mm-hmm. you know, it makes me proud to be part of this work. So, you know, I'm running for a third term. You know, I hope I'm reelected. And I'm running for a number of reasons because I feel like still a lot of work to be done. We have a lot of important work in progress. I feel I still have more to contribute. As I'm sure everybody listening knows, and I'm sure you know, we are in the beginning stages of a superintendent search. And mm-hmm. as president of the board, you know, I play a key role in that effort. And it's crucial that we find a strong leader with deep experience in the key areas of importance for Tenafly, you know, maintaining and growing our academic excellence, supporting our students and staff socially and emotionally, and of course, always fostering an inclusive, safe, and supportive school community. And I feel I really understand Tenafly's needs and feel confident, you know, going into that interview process and identifying a great candidate. So that is, you know, the first place where I really feel like I still have work to do and contributions to make. As the previous candidate, your previous interview mentioned, we mm-hmm. are in the beginning stages of referendum planning that has been discussed at our public meetings over the past few months. I am chair of the facilities committee and really champion the idea of a referendum. And in that process, we, the facilities committee, decided we wanted to go tour all six of our buildings. We met with every principal. We spent time with our buildings and grounds team to really see firsthand what our challenges are and where we need to improve. And quite frankly, that was eye-opening. You know, it's not something that we would typically do. We as board members don't have free access to the school, nor should we. You know, we have the appropriate mm-hmm. access as we do as parents or, you know, any other community member would. So that was a really great experience for us to see in real time while students are in the buildings, you know, learning and see the challenges that our district is facing on a daily basis. And as the previous candidates did say, the reality is our facilities are old. You know, our youngest building is 50 years old, and there are many areas that have been in need of real attention for a long time. Unfortunately, you know, our annual operating budget simply doesn't allow for millions and millions and millions of dollars to be spent annually mm-hmm. to, you know, correct those things. So we are working with a great new architect of record, DMR Associates. And they're helping the facilities committee and the board prioritize, price out all of the ideas we have. And then as soon as we're in a place where we feel like we have a handle on what that looks like, we are going to be going out to the community for input, ideas. And, you know, referendum planning is a long and very detailed process. It takes real dedication. It takes real attention. And I'm willing to do it. I've done it already with our facilities committee, and I'm you know, I'm here. I'm ready to continue that work. So, and if it's successful, I really believe that it's something that the Tenafly community will benefit from for many, many years to come. And I feel like it can be a real legacy for this period of time. So that's another
wonderful.
Very exciting initiative.
Yes, it sounds very exciting, and again, ushering in positive change. That's a very powerful thing and always much needed. I know that Tenafly takes security very seriously because Tenafly is, I think, the only borough around here that has such strict standards with fingerprinting and with background checks and with carrying these documents with you, because again, I do after school activities. That's very
right.
That's very great to do everything you possibly can to make sure that the people coming into the school are who they say they are and are safe people to have inside the school with the kids.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. Because this has been another hot topic lately in our district, you know, has come up a lot at our recent meetings, and that is the topic of security. And it can be a polarizing topic, right? Different people have very different ideas of what a safe school looks like. And we have actually reconvened. The first meeting was coincidentally this morning, this security roundtable, and it is made up of a group of stakeholders to really talk about ideas. To ultimately make recommendations to the board for consideration for next year's budget. And certainly security upgrades will also likely be considered as part of the referendum project, because again, you know, sometimes people don't want to hear this, but the reality is these things cost money and there's a finite amount of money, right? So there are some things that are going to simply be too expensive to support within an annual budget. And, you know, they could be great things to add to the referendum and really improve the safety and security of our district, or I should say enhance the safety and security. So absolutely, that is something that is top of mind. In fact, our architect of record is sitting on that committee so that, you know, they can give their input and expertise and experience. And I just want to say, you know, there are a couple of other reasons why I am running again. You know, six years is a long time, and then certainly nine if I am reelected. But, you know, those two initiatives that I mentioned, along with just the day-to-day responsibilities of the Board of Education, require leadership. They require historical knowledge and understanding and experience. And, you know, while everybody who comes to the table at the board has their own personal experiences, professional experiences, the way a public school district works and the role of the Board of Education is very unique. And it's understanding that role really takes years to truly understand. And I feel like my experience is really going to be crucial to the success of the two things I mentioned. And, you know, as we've talked about, I have been president since January of 2021, so for the past almost 2 years. And, you know, I personally work to continue to make positive changes to our board structure so we can be as effective and successful as possible. You know, we've instituted a new superintendent evaluation process, a board self-evaluation process. And ironically, you know, I'll sort of comment on something that the previous candidate mentioned, and that is our public comment, the public comment portion of our meeting. That is actually designed as exactly what it states, which is public comment. It is not public dialogue. When I became president, I was uncomfortable with the idea of basically saying, thank you very much, and just that being the end of the discussion. So we do now really try whenever possible after the member of the public speaks about whatever topic is important to them to at least respond, whether it's a direct them someplace where they can get the information they're looking for, answer a question that they have posed, or let them know when we'll be discussing it, you know? And so I really do make a real effort to be able to address things that come up and not dismiss the public. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we do have some contentious public comments, and those are a little harder to address, of course. But, you know, we do make an effort to answer questions on the spot so that the person benefits from hearing that answer, and certainly the rest of the people that attending the meeting, you know, who may be interested in understanding that topic will. You know, and I'll just say, this third term that I'm running for, at this point, I feel it's likely the most important one I've run for yet. I feel there's the most at stake. This election, as I'm sure you've, you know, heard and seen, has taken an unprecedented political turn in Tenafly. There is a growing national movement of political action groups specifically targeting school boards. And, you know, I'm sad to say that Tenafly is not immune to that. And I just feel it's important for me to say, I do not believe politics have any place in our schools. You know, politics often have a single issue focus. That doesn't work in a school district. We're educating children. That work is very complex. and politics are often polarizing, which is not healthy for a school community. And instead, you know, I want to focus on fostering an inclusive community, not dividing it with this political, you know, political environment.
No, thank you. That's very important to state. And I, too, believe that school board elections should be nonpartisan. You know, they should be what's best for our kids and who can do what's best for our kids. You certainly bring a phenomenal amount of experience. You know the playing field. You've been active on the board for years now, and you're very quick. You even anticipated some question I was going to ask and answer them before I had a chance to ask them. So I'm very impressed. Now,
thank you.
Given that you're very clear in terms of what you are going to do and what you can do and how you can do it, which is, again, a very awesome thing, and you've navigated some really great challenges, you know, that are confronting our society and our schools. What would you say your greatest challenges were, and what do you anticipate the challenges to be in the near future?
It's no secret. Again, we've had a few tough experiences in the last few years in Tenafly. That said, I do think COVID was the biggest challenge that, you know, our board and obviously all school districts across the country and actually, you know, maybe even the world experienced. And, you know, I can just speak to my experience on the board. You know, like every school district, we were given countless and ever-changing, you know, recommendations and mandates from the state. We had individuals in the community with wide degrees, varying degrees of comfort with our policies. And we needed to balance all of that while still trying to serve our students effectively, you know. And I do believe we did it successfully given the unprecedented circumstances. We really remain consistent through the pandemic and measured in our policies and protocols and thought through every detail and how it would impact our students and staff. You know, that included multiple roundtable discussions that, you know, received input from health officials and colleagues in other districts and various, you know, parent community stakeholders, medical professionals, school nurses, district physicians, so many different people. And, you know, to really work together to come up with the best plan for Tenafly. At the time, in the summer of 2020, I was the vice president of the board. And I will say, I think I spent that entire summer on the phone with community members, just hearing, listening to what people's comfort level was. You know, some people wanted their kids in school all day, every day, you know, with lunch, because they just need to be in the classroom. Others didn't want to be around other people, right? And trying to find a way to balance those wide varying degrees of comfort. And I ultimately, you know, the administration came up with a plan. The board supported it. We talked a lot about it. And I believe it was successful. You know, in Tenafly, unlike many other surrounding districts, we never had an entire school shut down. We did have a few classrooms and if I remember correctly, maybe grade levels in specific schools, but our students were consistently able to maintain their hybrid routine. And we actually were really lucky. We realized at the end of that summer, going into the fall, that we had relatively low enrollment in kindergarten and first grade. And by just adding one section to each grade, we were able to bring in those students, kindergarten and first graders, every single day. So they weren't in cohorts. And that was, you know, one of the most challenging ages, or, you know, age ranges to teach virtually. So that was hugely beneficial to those students. And I think, you know, we got so lucky with those numbers and that we were able to find a solution to bring them in every day. And I think at this point, you know, while it was an immense challenge, I think we learned a lot from COVID and the pandemic, right? We learned about our students, our teachers, administrators, all of us adults, you know, and the role that socialization and how important it is to our lives and our, you know, our success and our happiness. And I will say we saw, you know, really close, up close, everyone's incredible flexibility as, you know, every element of school was reengineered to fit sort of within the parameters of COVID, the COVID world. And I also think it gave us the opportunity to see crystal clear the non-negotiable elements of learning, right? Like the in-person connections, extracurricular activities for our kids, which, you know, you're involved in, and it's so crucial at every level for these kids to have outlets, you know, outside of the classroom. Uh-huh. And the foundational structure that just the attendance at school provides. So, you know, we're lucky. We now have this virtual world that we can, you know, rely on if we need it, but you know, we have really learned that it is not a replacement for the full school experience at all.
No, it is not. And again, I'm a big fan of the Tenderfly school system because how it handled the pandemic. And again, as somebody coming in occasionally, there were forms to fill out, get to know questions about COVID. Mm-hmm. You had to observe wearing masks and practice social distancing. And if these activities weren't challenging enough to run, you know, there was all that to take into consideration. But it was good because it kept the kids safe and it kept the environment safe. It was a wonderful thing. So again, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm thrilled that you had that experience.
And in this new era that we're entering post-COVID, and here we don't know if it's post-COVID yet, but what do you see as the challenges ahead, given the challenges that you face and are currently facing?
So, look, right now, in this very moment, you know, I know I mentioned it a few minutes ago, I can't ignore this political climate that we're living in. You know, so it feels so polarizing and so unnecessarily that if we could just have conversations that are rooted in reason and dialogue, we could really come to consensus or at least agree to disagree. But, you know, this environment that we're living in where there is so much freedom to just point fingers and make things inflammatory is just not productive. So I'm hoping that we can get over that and come to a better place. Also, you know, our superintendent search will absolutely be a challenge. It's a great challenge, and I feel lucky because we have time. You know, we're in the process of our interim superintendent search, and we will have someone in place for when our current superintendent leaves. And then we are searching for our permanent superintendent to start July 1 of next year, which is the official start date of the 23-24 school year. So we have time to really do this thoughtfully and the right way to really find the best fit for Tenderfly. And so I see that as a challenge, but also as something exciting, right? An opportunity for Tenderfly and for the board to find someone new. So I would say for right now, in this moment, those two things.
Awesome answer. Thank you very much. You have fans. I've been following the posts for tonight's show on social media, and people have been saying very good things about you. So you do have fans in the community who appreciate who you are and what you do. Where can folks go to learn more about you and what you're all about?
So I do have a website. It's schwarzforboe.com, and it's S-C-H-W-A-R-Z. And I am going to be doing some other promotional materials that will be coming out soon, you know, within the community. And I just want to sort of take this opportunity to share, because it's not articulated quite so cohesively on my website, that, you know, I am not here with a platform. I'm not here with an agenda. I'm here, and sort of my vision for Tenderfly and driving force in everything I do as a board trustee is because I care, and it's always to put students' needs first. That's what I've always been about, and I'm willing to do the work, and I want to see our students succeed and thrive academically, emotionally, and, you know, in our physical spaces, you know, hence the referendum. So, and that obviously also means doing everything we can to support our staff and support our administrators so they can be the best educators they can be. So I feel it's so important to just make sure people understand I am here to do the work because I want to do what's best for these students and for Tenafly, and I want to support our community.
Thank you very much. You've said a great deal, and it's powerful and very resonant. Is there anything else you'd like to add? We have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that you left out?
I don't think so. Just look at my notes. I do, and I'm so glad you mentioned it a few minutes ago. I just want to say the outpouring of support from this community is exactly why I love Tenafly and why I'm here, why my kids are here, you know, why I chose to come back here, because there is so much support. And, you know, elections can certainly be taxing, but it doesn't go unnoticed. And I just want to say thank you to anybody listening and to you, you know, for doing this and giving us this forum. It's so important, and I am just very grateful for everyone in this community who has been supportive of the work and understands what it takes, because it is a volunteer position, right? Sometimes it feels like a full-time job, and that's okay because it matters. I appreciate when people recognize that, because sometimes it can feel like a thankless job. But when we see the success of Tenafly, see us do well in the rankings, which, you know, the niche.com rankings just came out recently, and we're number 6 in the state, and the fact that our kids are thriving, going to great schools, ready for college by the time they graduate, that's what matters. And, it's very gratifying to see those successes when you're putting in the work, you know, every day.
And by the way, that's part of what motivated the creation of this show. I've been doing these shows now for the past few years with the Board of Education elections, is my involvement with the local governance. I would see during the mayor and council meetings that people who didn't really know much about the council people or the mayor, occasionally during the comment section would come and seem to take the opportunity to yell at the mayor and the council people, not really knowing who they are, what exactly their responsibilities are, and the fact that they're not really getting paid, you know, megabucks or anything to be where they are, that it's a labor of love for most of the people I've spoken to, as you yourself expressed. So I wanted to create something where people can see the people, you know, beyond the position that they're looking at, and to realize that not only are you dealing with other human beings, but that these human beings really love the community, and this is what they're doing because they love the community, and they're facing these challenges, and it does feel thankless at times, but yet they're there doing it, and you've been there doing it for a very respectable amount of time. So again, I thank you, and I wish you success in this and all your other endeavors.
Thank you. I so appreciate you putting this together and appreciate the kind words. And I look forward to listening to the rest of the interviews tomorrow.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody. The robot voice just informed me we have 90 seconds. Thanks to everybody listening. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to listen to us later on freely on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody, and thank you.